All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast, bowl edition, that's right, MWWire.com. That's our website where people come to view and read and retweet and share stuff. Matt Carnelli alongside with me, and we also have a Twitter account, which has been exciting, MWCWire. So I'll leave it there. Go check our mentions if you want to see some dummies talk about each other.
Exciting, if, except for you, your UCF fans.
Do we want to get into this at all?
Don't come into our dojo without facts. Don't do it.
Are we in a Cobra Kai? Is that what we're doing?
No. We're Ralph Macchio.
That's right. Cobra Kai's the bad guys. I haven't paid attention. I just know that's a YouTube show or something, right? And Karate Kid, obviously, a movie. But it's when you spend 24 hours on Twitter, we sort of were, but not really. We're taking turns. Get a life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be us, too. We're on Twitter a bunch, too, as well. But it's let's just say this. Pay respect to the University of Utah and know your facts, right?
Yeah.
So that's all we're going to say. If you want to check at it, go for it. But this is bowl season. First look, because last time we talked, no bowl announcements were made. We had a couple ideas outside of Hawaii Bowl and Fresno going to Vegas. Last show, we sort of talked about Utah State coaching. We'll get into the bowl stuff. But here's kind of the layout of what we're doing. Quick hit for every bowl game. Matt has bowl rankings, which we'll go over, and people can love or hate, or probably everybody hates rankings and loves rankings, so that's a win-win, right?
Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, though, I haven't received a lot of feedback that is negative on this. I haven't really received much feedback that's positive either, but still.
I think people were – there was one I saw, because what was your – I read, like, people, like – were thinking the rank. I don't. Maybe it was. Was it? What was your ranking box? I remember reading it. I'm glancing over again. Was it like how you'd want to watch them? The best matchup. Maybe people didn't like how your criteria was set out because you just put what's the best bowl game.
I should preface it by saying there are no bad bowl games because there is not much college football left in the season, and every game we have left is precious.
Exactly.
There is a little bit of, how much star power is there, contrast of styles, opportunity for lots of points. It's not like I had a rubric or anything like that to really think about these things. It was just thinking about the six games that we have ahead of us, which ones am I most interested in? And that's not to say that I'm not interested at all in the ones at the bottom. It's just that I think justifiably there are some games that have a little more intrigue than others.
Well, that's obviously true. Like we'll go in like kind of a date order for all these games, but we'll talk through your rankings as well. Like really quick, you had Well, let's just do it now real quick. You had the Arizona Bowl 6, which makes sense with Nevada losing a bunch of players. You had Frisco Bowl 5, just because it's Ohio.
Well, my main justification for that is, you're talking about two teams that are facing kind of a what might have been, because both of these teams came into the season with very high expectations. And while I don't think anybody would say that either San Diego State or Ohio had a bad year, by any stretch, I think the fact that they're ending up in the Frisco Bowl rather than in Las Vegas or wherever they're sending the MAC champion these days.
Birmingham, I think, maybe.
Is it Birmingham? I forget.
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're playing UAB, right?
Maybe.
Conference championship matchup?
Hopefully. I'm not sure exactly.
But regardless, I think in that game, there's a little bit of... I think both teams are definitely going to be motivated to show that they're still a force, but... it's they're not quite the team that we well expected them to be.
Yeah, and I like your last line in this. On the bright side, San Diego State is almost guaranteed to deliver one last one score decision.
Yes,
which hey, one score game, it's always exciting. And then we have Hawaii versus La Tech. That could be higher, but with Hawaii being hit or miss on the year, it's we'll see. And this is apparently an old WAC rival.
Yes, it is.
So we put a link to YouTube 2007. Was 100 points just about regular?
It was 45 to 44.
So this could be a sneaky good game. I wish it was Christmas Eve, but it's not. And we'll talk more in a second. The First Responders Bowl. Okay, Boise State versus Boston College. On the surface, I'm like Snorefest because I don't care about Boston College. Outside of this being the rematch of the Micron PC Bowl on the blue turf from about a decade ago.
No, that's the MPC Computers Bowl.
Oh, did I get that incorrect? I remember it used to be the heart. It used to be like a truck stop bowl or something, trucking company.
The humanitarian bowl.
Yeah. Okay. Look at that. There is a good running back there for BC. So we'll see how that goes. And it's a different location, and that's fine to go down to Dallas. And then you got the Las Vegas Bowl, Fresno, Arizona State, number two, where we'll see how it's a Power Five team. There's not many they get to play, and mm-hmm. champion in a Arizona State team, which has been hit or miss. They've been good. They beat my Utes about a month ago. Annoyed me, but I don't care anymore. And they got Utah State, North Texas, number one, Gil Dan, New Mexico Bowl. This has the potential to either be number one or number six, Matt. Because
you think so?
Yeah, because we'll dive into a second here. If neither team has their head coach, I don't know what to expect from this game.
That is a very good point.
So, and they have good offense. We'll go bowl order. We'll go time of the calendar month order, I guess, or kick order. But mm-hmm. that's my thing of that game. And also, Wyoming fans have some hard thoughts about missing a bowl game.
I don't blame them.
Do you? Are you fine? They get 6-6.
Yeah.
Is it that big a deal they didn't get invited?
Well, I guess it depends on your perspective. I mean, if you're like me, you know, any bowl is a good bowl, mm-hmm. especially when your team has a chance. Because, I mean, it's not like they – think about last year, for instance, when they went to the Potato Bowl. It wasn't maybe the kind of – it wasn't maybe the destination that they wanted, you know, because they were the defending Mountain champions going into last year. But they went out. They blew the doors off of Central Michigan. They had a dominant defensive performance. And Josh Allen – you know, put one last, you know, highlight reel together and became an NFL first round pick. So while maybe their season didn't quite have the same ups and downs as last year, I don't blame them for getting passed over for BYU, because I think if you were to ask any Mountain West fan base whether they would be okay getting passed over for BYU, I'm pretty sure the answer all around would be no.
Correct. But here's two things with that. One, BYU was never going to be left out for two reasons. The one is a contractual reason. And I don't want to say idiot on Twitter because they're all dummies. We can be dummies. I can be a dummy. But somebody who doesn't grasp what bowl games are, it's a television show and an event, right? That's basically mm-hmm. what it is. They don't care if whatever. They don't nowadays. That's why that's what it is. So first off, blame. Here, you know who you want to blame for Wyoming not getting the bowl game? Blame the former San Diego Chargers who left town, because that's why the Poinsettia Bowl is not a thing anymore, and that was a Mountain West Bowl tie-in, and that's where BYU was supposed to go this year because they had that deal with the Vegas, Hawaii, and Poinsettia mm-hmm. Bowl for like that 5-year stretch or whatever it was. So blame the Chargers. ESPN's going to give them not a makeup, but if they're bowl eligible, yeah, we'll find you a bowl game because they should have had a bowl game with their contract. Also, Matt, who's going to watch the game more? Who's going to travel better? BYU. It's BYU, obviously, right? It's not even close.
Is BYU really going to get hyped to watch a 6-6 team go play in Boise in December?
Here's the thing. They didn't go to a bowl game last year. And just by sheer number of fans, yes, there'll be more. I guarantee, I put money on anything, there would be more BYU fans there. Not people like, oh, it's just because they're from Idaho and there's people who went to BYU there. Or they're part of their religion that like follows BYU because of that. And the regular school, wherever they went to. But they will travel better. They didn't go to a bowl game. They will go. There will be more people to watch. Plus, if it's just a TV thing, that's what they care about. I guarantee that bowl game will have higher ratings if it was Wyoming to Western Michigan. Right?
Oh, okay.
That's my point. That's part two. It's like, it's a TV show. It's who wants to show up, and BYU does both. Like, BYU would outdraw, not this year, but they're basically a top 20 team when you're on TV. You know what I mean? People watch mm-hmm. them. And it's like, it's lame. They're not in there. But also, Wyoming, they were strong, won 4 in a row. But who are you going to kick out, though? Because I don't care if you've beaten these teams in the conference, but you got to have a seven wins is what you need. But here's no fret, Matt. Myrtle Beach, Austin, some other cities having a bowl game. So that mm-hmm. means more teams, more football, and more 5-7 teams going bowling. But yeah. I'm fine with it. Like, it sucks, but there's reasons why. Any team is – it wasn't people trying to pit at BYU versus Wyoming. That wasn't the case. Boise got a trade off, and San Diego got a trade off to go somewhere else. So,
so then here's a question: do we think it's a problem that we are all beholden to ESPN for pretty much all of these destinations?
Yeah, they own a ton of bowl games.
Like, do we think that's a problem?
I think it can be, because I think I don't have the bowl schedule in front of me. I believe every game's on ESPN, and then the one on ABC, the Vegas Bowl. You have the Arizona Bowl, CBS Sports Network. At least it's not streaming anymore, like it was year one, or a conference matchup. And I think I know Utah, their bowl game, they play the Holiday Bowl. I think that's FS1. And I want to say whatever the bowl in San Francisco is now, it used to be the Fight Hunger. I think it's the Redbox Bowl. I think that's on Fox. So basically, like, I think 34 of all the bowl games are on ESPN. And they own, I think, what, 20 bowl games, I want to say?
I think so, yeah.
It is a problem. And part of it is I guess the good and bad, the good thing is you can trade and do matchups. Because, oh, I own this bowl, we own this bowl. It's why we had San Diego State and Houston in the Vegas Bowl a couple years ago. That's a pretty good matchup. So you can make some trades. But then again, you get stuff like this where, well, we kind of owe BYU a game if they're eligible. But I'll go back again saying if they're eligible, they're getting in over Wyoming or any other group of five team with six wins, and probably a handful of Power Five teams that didn't have that overfilled their slots. So BYU is basically, if it's a six win team versus, assuming you're not like a Texas at 6-6 or USC or some huge program, BYU is going to go to bowl game over any other team in the country. But I think what you're alluding to, and maybe we kind of joked about before, how would you change it then? Would you want like some, I project a lottery system of some sort?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any clean fix for something like this.
You know why that'd be great? Because do you ever, you know how many people watch the FIFA World Cup draw?
A lot.
Yeah. And there is somebody, I think it's a website, I think I saved in my pocket feed, maybe an off-season thing. They did a for non-conference scheduling. I think it's the, you never see that, go to the website, I think it's like Collegiate AD or something. I think our buddy Eli does a few things over there every now and then. But they put out a thing like, why not have some sort of tier system and like a lottery system and draw teams to who you play for non-conference every year? How big of a TV show? ESPN put on the playoff final weekend ranking, like an 8-hour show.
That's true.
I think it would be, I know there's a ton of logistics stuff. The conference, bowls pay different money, but that could kind of still stay in place and travel arrangements, whatever. But still, how many teams knew their destination before championship weekend? 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Not many. And so even Notre Dame, who was in the playoff, didn't know where they were going. They just knew they were in somewhere. It's going to be a lot of money to go there. So why not take your big New Year's Six games, your playoff, every other bowl game, have it up for grabs. Like have some lottery system, and you – I don't know how to work, but why not do like some sort of draw system? Like bowls have a pecking order every year. Maybe it's something where – that would be exciting, right? Wouldn't you watch that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably would. I mean, especially since I think – I don't know. I feel like Wyoming has a legitimate complaint. And it also is one of those things where it always seems like at least one Mountain West team is getting a really raw deal every single year.
What are the recent ones? I know one might have been that first Arizona Bowl.
Yeah,
or San Jose going to Cure Bowl maybe, something like that.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that, but do you remember when Nevada and Colorado State played each other in the Arizona Bowl?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned. Yeah, on streaming platform only.
Or when Air Force ended up winning 10 games, yeah, but they ended up in the Arizona Bowl.
Yeah, playing South Alabama.
Crushed them. Yeah. So it's not ideal. And I mean, I don't know if there's a fix other than one, getting more bowl tie-ins at some point, and two, you know, maybe some kind of drastic overhaul of the system.
Conference USA has 7 bowl tie-ins, Matt.
It's true.
Part of it, honestly, it's locational bowl games. Craig Thompson said many times, we don't want to go to the East Coast to play bowl games because we want fans to travel. We want people out west to just basically travel and for team and fans to go out there, expense, cost. But you know what? Easy thing to do, like getting bowls in Dallas and tech middle of the country is fine. What, honestly, the lottery system would be my most favorite because that would be awesome. Where I don't know how you do it, maybe have every bowl. It can't be equal save money, but some sort of rotation. Like they already have the tier system now. Like say there's 10 bowls get the first set of teams, you know what I mean? Like kind of a break off because more bowls are more valuable than others. Maybe they'll change over time, but we're like these 10 bowl games kind of go through and pick who they want to go through and choose and decide like some sort of draft. That's intricate. And I think that'd be amazing. Maybe that could be a long off season thing, but why not do this? Go back to the old Mountain West Conference USA Champion. Those games are good. I know it was way out in Memphis and they didn't like it, but play at the Heart of Dallas Bowl, the Frisco Bowl. There's 3 bowls in Dallas. Come on. There's 4 bowls in Dallas, right? Cotton Bowl, Armed Forces Bowl, Lockheed Martin Bowl, and the Frisco Bowl, right?
Wait, here's the move. All right.
Oh, what do you got? I know what you're gonna say, but I'm not saying BC.
I don't think you know what I'm gonna say.
Okay. Oh, all right. Go for it.
There's the ongoing discussion about upgrading Bulldog Stadium here in Fresno at some point.
Ooh.
When that happens, bring back something like the California Bowl.
Can it be the California Raisin Bowl?
It absolutely can.
And the Dancing Raisins, right? That's a must.
Why not?
Hey, if you haven't seen that, go YouTube it. They're amazing.
I mean, if you're going to invest that much money into the facility, why not make an attempt to bring it back and have one more West Coast destination?
And there'll probably be a second Las Vegas bowl game with the new Raider Stadium. But here's what we should do. I like the idea. Have more bowls out west because we already lost the Poinsettia Bowl. Do this. Let's have, like, I know my drastic lottery system is crazy, I think, but I think it's still amazing. Why not just have, we always complain at the beginning of the show, American complained about Mount. UCF's dumb. Memphis is still a pretty good team. USF was ranked at one point. Matt, did you know they had four ranked teams this year at the American Conference? Has that been brought to your attention at all?
It has.
Well, my point being, this doesn't matter because there's only, I think, Chris Murray, or yeah, over, what is it, Nevada Sportsnet now, I think, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's like five or six bowl matchups that are P5 versus G5, like contractually done.
Yeah.
Not including whatever New Year's Six bowl game. So why not have, send the Mountain West champ to play the MAC, Northern Illinois, have a rotating system of these other teams in the Sun Belt, Mountain West, and kind of rotate them out. Your champ or one versus two or something like that where, yeah, would you rather play, seriously, let's just say, okay, UCF's in the big bowl game. They're there. Who you have a San Diego or Fresno State win the Mountain West. Wouldn't you rather see like a Fresno State Troy game than Fresno Arizona State? Or do you like the matchup that Fresno has?
Well, Troy didn't win the Sun Belt.
Well, whoever, I'm just mean App State or something.
App State. But, so basically you're talking about setting up matchups that involve the champions in each conference.
For the most part, yeah.
So in this case it would be Fresno State, Northern Illinois, App State, and
say
UAB.
Memphis, or Memphis, just say whoever, yeah. Second A American.
UAB.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hey, got your eyebrow raised there.
Interesting. I think all of those games would be very intriguing.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, I get North Texas, Utah State could be pretty good, but I just think that would be guaranteed a better matchup. Because, like I said, Boise, Boston College, eh, whatever. I'd want to see Boise State, Memphis, wouldn't you?
I absolutely want to see Boise State, Memphis.
Cincinnati,
because I want to
Utah
see the Broncos
State.
Expose them as a fraud.
Or like Cincinnati, Buffalo. You know what I mean? Some pretty decent teams. That's probably
I'd be down with that.
I think that's an easier idea than my lottery system.
Yeah.
All right. Should we just get to we did have a. Do we need to do our have fun Heisman talk, or should we just scrap that?
Nah, let's just scrap that.
Okay. You'd be amazingly good to get a Heisman finalist from the Mountain West. So there you go. So Cole McDonald gets 60 touchdowns and maybe he'll be the fourth spot.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be 60, yeah. All right, so let's get to the games here. As we said, we're going to be kind of a quick look. And also, there's going to be an announcement at the end of the show. So I bring this in as a bad host. 18 minutes in, there's going to be some big announcement at the end of the show.
That's what we in the business call a tease.
It's a bad tease, too, Matt. I should have done it early at the top of the show. However, you couldn't have just fast-forwarded to the end to find out, too. So maybe it's brilliantly disguised.
Maybe.
All right, maybe. We'll see. I attempt to be a radio professional and some other stuff here. But let's get to the game. So we will go chronological order. Utah State, North Texas, Las Vegas Bowl. Or, no, geez. Sorry. Oh, Matt, I'm sorry. I'm used to Las Vegas Bowl being first. It has been forever.
Well, technically speaking, they are both on the same day.
They are,
so
but,
I'll forgive you.
Okay. Kick time. 8 is New Mexico at noon Mountain Time. My internet's going slow here, so I can't blow it up anymore. Here's the thing. It's noon that day. My biggest takeaway is, we never mentioned Utah State coach. It's not Gary Anderson at the moment because people aren't on the same page. So my question to you, Matt, are they going to have a coach besides Frank there, the defensive line coach, step it up to be with them? Is he going to handle all type positions? Because it seems like Wells is taking everybody.
That is an excellent question. I have no idea.
I do know. I think it, realistically what's going to happen is I don't think Yost and the DC – was it it's not Anderson too, is it? Shoot. Whatever DC, Frank, whoever, I forget, apology, but I think they're not gonna be there, so they might be like QB coach. Is Chucky Keaton gonna call plays? That's what I wanna know. So he'd be the OC for this matchup because he's on the roster as a coach.
Maybe.
But that's the two biggest storylines because UNT might not have their coach either. They're looking at going to Kansas State to go for a retiring 79-year-old Bill Snyder with Latrell.
That would be the immortal Bill Snyder. Thank you.
Sorry, apology. Also, this makes really quick the matchup between the Frisco Bowl. Frank Solich will now be the oldest head coach FBS. I think Rocky Long would be number two. So
that is interesting.
Fun fact.
That is the fun fact.
That's what we find here, folks. So that's my biggest thing is who's going to coach. Like Utah State, they're talking about still maybe getting – or still, excuse me, not getting, but doing interviews through next week, which is bowl week. So I don't know if they'll make an announcement before the bowl game. Latrell is out in New York for a National Foundation Award type deal. He's linked to Kansas State, but would it be a letdown if neither head coach is there? Because we already got one, or both, I should say.
Well, it's not as though it hasn't happened before.
Both coaches not being on the sideline?
I'm sure that that's happened at some point, somewhere.
It has to, because there's been a couple here. Some stick around, some don't. But that's my biggest thing in the game, because how much will these teams change for what they're doing? Because especially if Utah State doesn't have Yost running that offense. I know they've run the plays all year, but there's going to be something with it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would probably still be mostly intact. I mean, it's still going to be a very offensive-friendly matchup either way.
Yeah, that's big thing. Like, there isn't Utah State. We didn't mention the line. Aren't they a slight favorite? I believe. I know you put the line post out.
If you want to call 11 points a slight favorite.
Oh, okay. I forgot what it was. I'm sorry. Jeez.
No, sorry.
Give me a break. No, I knew it was a Utah State favorite by a good amount. But this game could feature a lot of points. However, depends on what Utah State defense does, because North Texas hasn't seen a defense that has have a guy named Rockamore on the team. That's a pretty stellar name, obviously. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It could be a lot of points, but they do have Conference USA Player of the Year on the team, Mason Fine at quarterback, who's pretty good. But my quick initial reaction, and I guess we'll do a super quick pick, Matt, is a lot of points. Utah State probably will cover? Question mark.
I think it's going to end up being really interesting, because especially since the line is already moving, it moved from 11 last I checked down to 9.
Ooh.
So maybe people are betting against the Aggies simply because of the news surrounding Matt Wells. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see. But do you think there'll be a lot of points?
I definitely think there's going to be a lot of points either way.
What's the – I'm putting a spot again. Do you have the over-under in front of you?
Not at the moment, but if you give me a moment, I can look it up.
So, oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to take a quick stab. I'm going to bet it's about 58.5, because that seems about right in this game. Also, we should mention Utah State tight end declared for the draft, Dax Raymond.
That's true.
Is he? I assume he's still playing in the game, right?
I wouldn't think so.
No? If you don't hire an agent, I don't know. That's something we should look into. But that's a big news if he plays and doesn't play. We should look into that, because I've only seen him declare and I haven't seen if he's on the roster. Maybe I could check the depth chart momentarily if it's out. But
the over-under right now, by the way, is 67.
Ooh, that's a lot of points.
It is.
So basically, it's going to be the first game. Tune in. Next game is your Fresno State Bulldogs, Matt, taking on Arizona State and the Fighting Herm Edwardses. Or is it just Edwards?
The fighting you play to win the games.
The fighting Herms.
The fighting you don't play to just play.
Okay, let me ask you about this, Matt. Why are they busing to Las Vegas?
Why not? Make a road trip out of it.
How far is that drive from Phoenix to Las Vegas? It's not too far. You guys, whatever you're in Las Vegas, see the signs. Go to Phoenix, go this way on the interstate. I would take a quick look and see. If you fly, it's only $125 nonstop. Why would you want a connecting flight from Phoenix to Las Vegas? But here's the thing in this matchup. Really, the biggest storyline clearly involves around Arizona State not having Nikhil Harry, who declared for the draft, cited agent, as a potential first-round draft pick.
Tempe to Las Vegas, by the way, is about 5 hours.
I don't get it.
I mean, it's like you leave in the morning, you're there by noon.
I know, but why is the team doing that?
Why not?
Save money? Does the Pac-12 really hard up for cash? I guess
it's not like they're taking Greyhound or something like that. I'm sure they have amazing buses.
Sure. I do know one year when BYU played Utah, the Vegas Bowl, BYU bus down.
Mm-hmm.
But I know why people don't do it now, because weather, at least from Utah to Vegas. But sure, go. I guess that's fine. It's just odd, right?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Plus, they have a week to play. So I guess the biggest thing is him not playing the game, right? That's my biggest takeaway, is that they lose their best offensive weapon, and Manny Wilkins is just okay at quarterback from time to time. He's not amazing.
Well, I don't know if I would say their best offensive weapon.
Best pass catcher?
I would say. Well, yeah, he's obviously the best pass catcher. But, I mean, let's not forget, if you haven't paid attention to Eno Benjamin this year.
Yeah, what
You know,
about him?
Benjamin is really good.
How good?
He is over 1,500 yards good, 5.5 yards per carry good. If you were interested in the advanced metrics, he's at about 5.6 highlight yards per opportunity, which basically means every time he's getting at least 5 yards, how many more is he getting after that? And he's also caught 33 passes out of the backfield too. So
that's good.
Losing Harry is going to make a difference. It's going to make defending the pass a lot easier for a very good secondary.
Then you focus on Benjamin. Come on, that's what you do.
But Benjamin can break a big play. You know, he was one of the better players in the Pac-12 as far as doing that this year with over 14 plays of 20-plus yards.
We also had, just to note here, which is a pretty big deal, when they beat Utah, Utah had, the best rush defense per play in the Pac-12. He torched them for 175 and 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's safe to say Utah's defense is a bit better than Fresno's. Not by much, but a bit better overall.
Yeah, so, and they've got some young guys on defense, too, that Fresno State will have to contend with, mm-hmm. too. You know, Merlin Robinson and Darian Butler are both freshmen, but they combined for 16 tackles for a loss and 6 sacks on the year. So Arizona State's got some interesting pieces that, if you haven't paid attention to them this year, I mean, there's a reason they went 7-5. It's, you know, the coaching has been solid. They have some exciting players in the offense, and the defense, while they have not necessarily been, you know, very effective as far as I guess you could say they've been a bend but don't break defense. You know, they're 104th in defensive success rate, but they're 27th as far as preventing big plays by ISO PPP.
Yeah, and really quick, every loss is one possession loss.
That's true.
That freaky ending, odd ending to San Diego State was a touchdown. Washington, touchdown. Colorado, when they're actually good, I guess, a touchdown. Stanford, a touchdown. Oregon, 2 points. But however,
that doesn't account for some of these other ones. Now that I'm looking at their win-loss results, let's see how many have they played. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They played 9 games decided by 8 points or less.
Yeah, they had the UTSA and Oregon State games. Is that about it, I think?
Michigan State, San Diego State.
No, I meant
State,
the other way around. So 3, yeah. Yeah, 3 and 12. So this team were... Not that they're consistent, but they're kind of like what opposite San Diego State did for a while, where they're losing those close ones.
They've been winning them down the stretch, though.
Now they have, yeah. Outside the Oregon loss, they've won 4 of the past 5. One note, Oregon State's really bad. He averaged 10 yards per carry, 312 yards on 30 carries.
He's pretty good.
He's good. So that's what to look for, and so we'll see. That's kind of our quick hit on that game. My quick, isn't Arizona State favored by 6?
No.
Oh, shoot. I looked at it wrong. Am I looking at the...
No, Fresno's minus 4.5 right now.
Oh, jeez. Okay. When it's a neutral site, I don't know who's home team. I look at the odds. So, yeah, 4.5.
And the over-under is 52.
I think Fresno can do it in this one. My first reaction, Fresno would win by a couple.
I mean, my initial reaction is I would take the points, but I would bet Fresno to win.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. Because here's the thing. When Arizona State's good, when they're doing things, they are pretty good. You know what I mean? When I watch, because Utah's defense is really good. Watching Manny Wilkins just carve them down the field, he does pretty good stuff in receiver, running the games. But when they, but they're, I know they're all these close games, doesn't mean they're inconsistent, but they, I guess they're not, I don't want to say not impressing because they've done pretty well. They have good talent. It just seems, for what they're doing offensively, they're underachieving a bit for what overall they could be.
Maybe. I mean, Wilkins is also the kind of running quarterback that Fresno State hasn't often faced this year, too. Because not only is he completing 63% of his passes, but he has over 500 yards on the ground, too, after you adjust for sacks.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go to the next game. What's our next matchup here?
That would be December 19th, the Ford DXL Frisco Bowl, San Diego State versus Ohio.
Wednesday, 5 Pacific. So get out of work about half an hour early, right?
Yes.
We joked earlier about the old man, the Grandpa Bowl, I guess. Is that, can we call it, nickname that real quick, the Old Timers Bowl?
Yes.
Old Timers, you allowed? Okay. My first in reaction, how is Ohio a favorite in this game by field goal?
Maybe it has to do with the fact that San Diego State's been very erratic on offense.
Could be. They lost offensive lineman because Romer is off the team. They did. Here's what I think part of it, too. For Ohio, they blew out Buffalo, who's pretty good. Mm-hmm. They have been scoring a lot of points. This offense, I think I put the note in there. Aren't they, top 40 scoring offense?
Well, they are at least the number one scoring offense in the MAC.
That's something to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But look, it's yeah, because they have 50, what are they, 4 times 50 plus points, over 40 multiple times. I would, this is going to be a tough challenge for San Diego State defense, because when you hear Ohio, it's like, oh, great, we're playing Ohio. But what they could do defensively, they are, yeah, there's 41 points a game. Defense is also, it's not great, but it's like, I think, 60th in the country in points allowed per game. And I think I'm going to go lean San Diego State because they're, I assume they're going to be finally healthy, right? You think Agnew's going to be out at quarterback, bring in Chapman. Washington will be 100%. And they will be just got to kind of work in who's going to take over those two offensive line spots because they had those one injury. And like I said, Romero's off the team.
Well, when we talk about a contrast of styles, this matchup, that I think is its biggest appeal because Ohio State, or not Ohio State, Ohio.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Let's show the Bobcats some respect.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got some playmakers on offense. You know, Nathan Rourke was the MAC Offense Player of the Year, was he not?
I'd have to check to see. I was looking at other things. I'll look at
I didn't think to look that up. But even if he wasn't, he's had a really good year. I know that a lot of us in the Mountain West don't necessarily pay attention to a lot of MACtion.
Tuesday night, man. Come on, Wednesday night.
But you're talking about a guy who has over 3,000 yards of total offense on the between his arm and his legs. He's run for over 900 yards this year. 9 yards per carry and 13 touchdowns. So between him and AJ Ouellette, I think it's going to be a sensational matchup for the Aztecs defense. To me, the biggest question, as it kind of has been pretty much every week down the stretch, is which Aztecs offense is going to show up. So if we're talking initial reactions, I would hedge my bets on San Diego State. I would probably lay the points with Ohio and ride with them.
You think they could move the score points against this Aztec defense?
I think even if they don't do it consistently, I think they'll be able to do it at least in spurts.
I think so too, because when you look at what they can do, it's it is different because no Mountain West team outside of, well, look at Hawaii. Hawaii had some success, and they kind of different type of offense. It's not a, like you mentioned, contrasting styles. Ohio just passed a bit, so maybe they could look at the Hawaii game and see what happened there to make say, hey, they did this, they did that, they could. Just don't throw a fade. Can we promise that? Can that be an amendment to their play calling to burn any fade call at the 2 yard line with the backup quarterback?
I definitely hope so.
Because that play, still the funny thing about that play, not to backtrack, but Aztec fans were really legitimately freaking out they'd miss the bowl game because of that.
They were never going to miss a bowl game.
I tried to calm people down. I tried to. Do that. So anything that's good for this game. Let's move on to the next one. All right. Is this next one a day game? No, not quite there yet. The No More Christmas Eve Hawaii Bowl game.
Tragic.
It's Saturday night, December 22nd, because Christmas Eve would be a Monday night. Come on, Monday Night Football? Or I guess maybe there's Monday Night Football. Is that what it is? Is there, yes, a Christmas Eve NFL game?
Yeah. Isn't there like an entire slate of Christmas Eve games?
I should check and see. I'm going to do it now. But this game, if you don't know, I questioned a few people, said this is a rival. Apparently, this is a heated rival.
Oh, yeah.
Former WAC opponents, Hawaii, La Tech. La Tech, didn't they start off like 6-2 or something?
They did.
They've only won one out of the last six games. One of the last, what? They're 7-5. So they're 6.
It's been a little bit rough down the stretch. The offense has kind of tapered off a little bit, and they lost some games down the stretch that maybe they shouldn't have. You know, they had a 1-point loss at Southern Miss. They got upset to end their regular season at Western Kentucky, who, if you haven't been paying attention, the Hilltoppers fired their head coach. Mm-hmm. Was it before or after that? Maybe it doesn't matter. They lost to a team that fired their head coach at the end of the year.
I'm not sure when. There is just one Monday night game, typical 6:15 Mountain Time kick. The good old Broncos and Raiders. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like the Jeff Driskel Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. They do have some talent on the offensive side of the ball. I think Jamar Smith is going to be a very interesting guy to watch. You know, he only completed 57% of his passes, but he's another kind of dual threat guy. He had 300 yards on the ground. He averaged about 5.5 yards per carry. But the number one guy I'm really looking forward to see, because I haven't had a chance to watch him all year long, is Jalen Ferguson. He's a guy who's getting first round NFL looks, 23.5 tackles for loss, 15 sacks. We've seen Hawaii's offensive line. We haven't really talked about the Warriors' offensive line, they've been pretty good this year. And we know that Cole McDonald has some escapability, but Ferguson versus Il Manning at left tackle is absolutely going to be a very fun matchup to watch.
True. No, that'll be great. One thing too about Hawaii is they gonna stick with Cole McDonald? Or are they gonna, because they've been putting in Cordero occasionally. He'll have to come back versus UNLV. Didn't he play a bit versus San Diego State, I think? He's played here and there. That could be a thing, because McDonald has struggled second half of the year despite still leading the conference in touchdowns. And so that's kind of one thing I look for at least for them. Stick with your quarterback. Or
I mean, I think
stick
that
with
if
a
you,
quarterback, I guess.
I think that if you look back at what he did versus the Aztecs in the finale, I mean, he threw for over 450 yards, and he got his completion rate back up above 60%. So I would think that, maybe it was just some second half struggles down the stretch against some very good defenses. Let's not forget, there was a stretch where they played Nevada, Fresno State, and Utah State all in a row.
I'm talking about playing good defense. Yeah, bench versus UNLV, man. That's not a
I
good
know, I'm
defense.
just saying.
No, I get your point. Second half was tougher. Like Wyoming, they squeaked out. BYU's defense is pretty good. Nevada's improved defense, obviously Fresno, Utah State, but they won two in a row. That's something it's happened just enough where Rolovich isn't scared to pull a trigger because their backup's still pretty good.
I mean, I think I would agree with that, but I would be very surprised if McDonald wasn't under center to at least start the game.
Oh no, I'm pretty sure he'll start. I tried to see what Steven Tsai has been saying because they barely started practicing their bowl games until the 22nd, but not much has come out yet on that. So.
Well, and one of the other things that Skip Holtz, I guess, in some bowl preparation interviews with the Monroe News Star, I didn't realize this, but Louisiana Tech played 10 weeks in a row to end the year.
Whew, that's tough.
And we've talked about, or we've debated how much of an impact that has on a team. And maybe for the Bulldogs, it just kind of caught up with them toward the end. And with a lot of time to get fresh, get prepared, and things like that, maybe they'll look more like the team that they were earlier in the year.
Could be, because that's why I think 2 years in a row, because CSU last year wanted to play Oregon State to week zero to have a bye week, and that's why Hawaii CSU changed this year as well to give bye weeks. So that's something to it as well. Get healthy. It's yeah, that's both teams are going to be more healthy, but La Tech maybe. Hey, if it is, because right now it's a 1 point favorite for obviously a bit of home field advantage at the Aloha Stadium for the Warriors. If they are more healthy, this could be a fairly more exciting game than what we're thinking right now. All right, you ready for some breakfast football, Matt?
I am always ready for breakfast football.
So my work schedule is pretty good because I work late afternoons, evenings. So you think, why is that great? You're home late. I'm like, well, it's for the special days when you have an 11:30 a.m. kickoff time on a Wednesday, December post Christmas, December 26th. That is the First Responders Bowl out in Dallas. Where is it? It's played at the Cotton Bowl, right? Yeah, Cotton Bowl. The rundown, dilapidated Cotton Bowl, which is still a thing because the state fair, I guess. Boston College, Boise State. Hey, Power Five team, right? Is this good enough? BC, yeah.
Well, in a Power Five team with some intrigue.
They do have some intrigue. They have a pretty good running back. This could be the key matchup. Running back versus running back could decide the game almost, or at least be the focal point as we're still, what, 3 weeks away.
Well, and also Boston College is in the process of having to find another offensive coordinator too. I think the word is, at least according to BC Interruption over at SB Nation, that Scott Loeffler, who was hired as the head coach at Bowling Green a couple weeks ago, he, I believe, is set to run the offense, call the plays in the bowl game. But it's going to be really interesting to see how that works.
Yeah, I saw it. He's gonna be. Yeah, he's the. Oh, here we go. Here's who might. Here might be real quick. Just a moments ago. Yeah, I did see he's probably gonna call plays. But here's who it could be: the LA Rams assistant Liam Cohen. Oh, will not become.
No,
Sorry.
actually, yeah, that was that story got updated.
Dang it. Will not. Never mind. I apologize. Not that it have impact on this game because like he'd come in and run plays. But I just saw. Oh, report Rams assistant. I didn't
But
see him
I don't
not.
blame him for leaving the LA Rams at this point.
That's why. Well, we had the Cliff Kingsbury. He could have gone to the Chiefs to be some assistant, but he's going to USC, so
True.
I don't know. We'll see. He's fine. He's gonna be into future 2020 USC head coach Cliff Kingsbury. Just saying.
Maybe.
But running back wise, obviously Alexander Mattison. Really quick, do you think he's gonna declare?
I would not be surprised if he declares.
Because I think the past three Boise running backs have declared junior year seasons: McNichols, Ajayi, and maybe even Doug Martin. But the running back is him versus AJ Dillon, who Shoot, I had in front of me. Didn't he lead the ACC in rushing yards?
He
was up there.
No, because I'm pretty sure it was Travis Etienne.
Oh, yeah. Apologies to him. Yes, that makes more sense. But he's all, I think, first team, or he's all conference of some sort running the ball for the ACC, Boston College. And he was actually, yeah, from Clemson. He still had 1,100 yards, actually third in the conference. 11 touchdowns, about 90 yards, or excuse me, 110 yards a game, 10 TDs. So he's a guy where that's kind of their, I think, Boston College's main thing, right? Where they're going to want to run the ball, because that's who he had, because their quarterback is I'm still scrolling on the CFB stats, Matt. They only throw for about 175 yards per game. They only complete about 55% of their passes. So this is going to be a run-heavy game that BC is going to want to do against Boise State.
Running and defense.
Yep, defense.
Because that's the other thing that the Eagles really have going for them. That's actually one thing that both teams have going for them, is they both force a lot of turnovers. BC actually led the ACC in total interceptions, and they were second behind Syracuse in total takeaways. And that is something that Boise State's been really good about down the stretch, is being able to take care of the football. But maybe more so in this game than in others, you know, whoever can win that turnover battle might have a significant upper hand.
Clearly, that's always the case. But I always say it's like, oh, turnover's the difference. I'm like, yeah, it's always a difference. It's kind of it's not a cop out, but when we say it the right context, the right way, it's going to be a game where, if you think about it deeper, like, this is, Brett, we mentioned good Brett Rypien, bad Brett Rypien. Not that's going to happen, but if you have a team that's opportunistic or knock down the ball, get some picks.
They've also got a very good defensive line.
Yeah. So it's going to be like, make it a fun game. Like, score some points, run the ball a lot, get some turnovers, score some points. I just want to see exciting football. But that is a good thing to watch for these turnover takeaways, because look in the in the championship game, you had the Fresno ball popped out. Oh, get it right there. See what happens. You get close field position. Or going back to the New Mexico San Diego State game, they get all those turnovers deep in their own territory, or Aztecs territory, to score.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would not be surprised if this game looked a lot like the Mountain West Championship game.
Is there snow in the forecast?
That would be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
And have it stick on the ground at the Cotton Bowl? Unlikely. However,
I've never been to Texas, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't snow there very often. Would I be correct about that?
You are correct. However, you know what's worse than snowstorms? Ice storms.
That's true.
They are nasty and terrible, and not that it'll happen, but it's just a thing that it's the way it works. Like, people are like, well, how can it be 30 degrees in rain or 34? I don't know how, but it just does. But it turns ice. It's not snow. So it freezes. Like, there's pine trees everywhere. Like, I had like two really bad ones growing up, like around high school age. Like, it would snap trees in half. Power lines would break because the water freezes around the power lines.
Mm-hmm.
It makes just like cylinder circles over that. Pine trees would be decimated, where individual pine sickle, or not pine sickle, basically, yeah, pine sickle, I'll call it that, where individual pine needle was icicle. And so it can be crazy. So that's a weird environment if it does happen, because it just rains so hard, because it can rain there like thunderstorms, but then it gets so cold quickly after it rains at night that happens. So,
well, and maybe one other note to keep an eye on this game. I don't know exactly how much impact it'll have, but Boise State linebacker Desmond Williams also announced his intent to transfer.
That's right.
A few days ago as well.
He is gone. We'll see. Yeah, it could be a big deal.
I mean, maybe, but he kind of plays that flex position that Kekaula Kaniho has been playing a lot more down the stretch.
Anytime you lose a key player, it's going to be an issue here at some level. So let's get to the final game. Is this the final game of the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl?
That is correct.
Is that the correct sponsor? Should we have been saying sponsors this whole time? Is that why they're in there?
I mean, we're not getting paid to do it, so.
So screw you, right?
Yeah, if you want, well, more mentions, you can reach out and pay us.
Sorry,
just contact us at MWC Wire.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. If there's money involved, we'll gladly say your sponsor. If not, it's hit or miss.
Yeah,
that's a nice way to say it, what I just said. So this game is a Saturday game. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it's on CBS Sports Network. So be prepared for that and for people complaining. So I see you, our good buddy Jeremy Harper at CBS Sports Network. Be ready for Arkansas State, Nevada. The biggest story is Nevada losing multiple guys to transferring already.
A couple of guys, yeah. But at least in the case of McLean Mannix, he had the best possible reason. Going home to take care of family.
Correct, yeah. There's that. And have we heard about DeFi Sewell, of what he's doing yet?
No, I had heard some speculation that he might be moving to Oregon
Heard a couple guys
or
or
Oregon State. I'm not totally sure. I know that there was a lot of consternation on the part of some Nevada fans who were maybe overreacting. And I know that Jay Norvell kind of expressed some frustration about the NCAA's new transfer rules.
What about that? Because I checked with our guy Tyler Bischoff a couple days ago on his Vegas radio show. He asked me about that. I think I compared it to overreaction because every year there's the college basketball transfer epidemic, which it's not. Because our buddy Eli Bedker did a while ago, I think for us or maybe that College AD site, kind of who goes up and goes kind of the level of where you transfer to or from. But all this helps. Like, I'm in favor of players doing what they want because look at Matt Wells. He left in a second because he got a huge contract and was able to do so. Players can't really do that. And all these guys still have to sit out a year. The only difference is that you can go into the website, click, type in, declare to transfer, and then go to anywhere they want. I think that's fine. I don't think this is going to be a breeding ground for guys who are amazing go to a better school because I made some comparison. I wish I had the name, but he went from Bowling Green, had an amazing receiver a couple years ago, decided to do grad transfer to Alabama, ended up doing nothing.
See, okay, so here's an interesting quote that Jay Norvell put out there. I'm just going to read it verbatim. The unfortunate thing for us and our staff is we kind of get penalized for doing a good job. Our job is to recruit and identify top talent and to bring it to Nevada. And then it's our job to develop that talent. And we're actually recruiting players that are good enough to go to Pac-12 schools and the Power 5 schools, but for whatever reason, we're able to convince them to come to Nevada. And then there is some paraphrasing. The transfer portal is not a good thing for mid-major football. We don't want to be a minor league for the bigger schools. I just don't see that.
No, and it's year one of this too.
I mean, he's going home because his mom can't travel to see him play anymore.
Yeah.
Why are we trying to demonize him for that?
There are players who say that and don't do it. So I'm not going to go out and say that's what he's doing. 'Cause he said he wanted to clear it up. He sent a message, I think, to Reno, what is it, Chris Murray, and sent him an email or message about it. I'm not going to go against that. That's what he said, so I'm going to believe him. But
Well,
there
I
are.
mean, and here's the other thing. Like, if he transfers to, I don't know, because he's from Texas, right?
I have to look and see. I think he's from
I think he's from
Midland,
Texas.
Texas.
He's from
Yeah,
Midland. Yeah.
Midland, Texas. Central
So let's
Texas.
say, for example, he transfers to Texas Tech. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not far.
Like, why? But he's going to have to sit out a year if he does that. What would
Yeah.
he possibly have to gain from that kind of move?
The only, I guess the gain would be if you want it not to be cynical, but the gain would be that I can go to a bigger program, maybe get more exposure and get to the NFL.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Nevada has done enough in the last few years to prove that you can get players to the NFL. They had the first pick in the second round last year.
Sure. I know I'm just trying to think out loud why. Maybe who knows what Matt Wells will do with that new offense at Texas Tech, David Dios, assuming what they're doing now at Utah State and Texas Tech. And real quick, it's 120 miles from Midland to Lubbock.
I mean,
So
I mean, Jay Norvell called it a magic bullet, or that that student athletes see it as a magic bullet to solve their problems, and that's just not the case.
there's guys who can transfer regardless. There's guys, a couple years ago, USC had a guy transfer in fall camp because he's like the number two guy, number three guy. There's a guy at University of Utah this year, Jack Tuttle, was the bat was the back was he the backup? I shoot. Yeah, he's the I believe he's the yeah, backup. Number two QB. Midseason, all the promise. I'm gonna get in. Doesn't get in. He could have been the guy for the second half of the year. Utah's quarterback Tyler Huntley's gone. He decided to transfer midseason because he wasn't playing, and he felt offended because Utah's bringing in a quarterback to recruit because you're not a good program if you're not getting at least one quarterback every class. And so he felt there's guys like that who feel offended, promise playing time, don't get to play. But if he had stuck it out at least a year, he could have been the quarterback right now and have the front runner job in 2 years, or maybe compete next year when for Utah quarterback spot. I
Well,
don't
and
think.
that's the other thing. Nevada's been maybe, I don't know, more aggressive than most, if not all, of the other Mountain West teams as far as giving true freshmen, a chance to make an impact.
Look at Tua. He's a freshman of the year.
Well, Mannix himself was one of those
Yeah,
guys. Came
last
out of
year.
nowhere.
Yeah. And so I'm never going to say, if they say it's for fame, I'm going to believe them unless they go to Duke, you know what I mean? Or Florida State, or way nowhere near the country. Because even though Midland is not super far from Reno, it's not easy to get there. Like, if he were to go to, I don't know. If he goes to TCU, I would fault him because that's not far from there. If he goes anywhere in the state of Texas, part of it is that it's easier to get to Houston or Dallas or even El Paso, which is not very far, than it is to get to Reno from Midland, Texas.
Well, and it's not like Nevada's hurting for other receiver options too. Yeah. I mean, I think it's likely that Caleb Fossum is going to step into the starting lineup, but between him and Brendan O'Leary Orange and Romeo Daubs and, you know, a lot of these other guys that they brought in the last couple of years, Nevada's done a very good job of recruiting wide receivers and just recruiting in general. They've been above, you know, they've been in the top half of recruiting in the last 3 years. And, oh, by the way, they've got at least one or two other three-star wide receivers coming in next year, too. So I don't really see what the gripe is all about.
Well, I know. I think he's over-exaggerating. I think here's the thing. Example. You're telling me if for some reason, because Norvell coached at Texas and Oklahoma, correct?
I believe so.
Or Arizona State, whatever. If you're telling me, whenever, it's not going to happen anytime soon because Herman and Lincoln Riley are doing fine. You're not telling me he would take that job in a second? What's, like, going to Texas to triple a salary, biggest program in the state, if they're, you know what I mean, or Oklahoma, same type of deal. You're telling me, look what Matt Wells did in a second. Matt Wells has been pretty open about who's coming and what. Hasn't denied, or it just kind of came out that he's leaving and he's doing what he wants to do, and that's fine. Why can't a player do that? Because the only difference between this system and before is that Norvell would say you can't go to school A, B, or C.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can't stop him from, well, I guess you could be a really jerk and do what Utah State did, I think, to David Collette situation, messy basketball, maybe tampering involved, but you're not going to be blocked from 130 schools.
Mm-hmm.
It would be conference schools and probably who's on the schedule for the rest of their eligibility, and maybe some random school here or there. Like, let them do what they want to do. If they, hey, if you wanted to go to a better school because you felt it was better, I don't care either, right? Players don't get anything. Like, UCF is getting a donation to build a lazy river, million or $2. I'm pretty sure every player on campus and future player would rather take that $1 million, put it into some endowment, and give the guy, say, $1,000 extra per year. You're telling me you wouldn't rather do that than go hang out the lazy river? I'm just saying, like, these guys don't get a ton for the amount of hours they put in. They can't get a job. They can't make any money at all. Yes, their COA, which is great. Scholarship is great. But there's the time they put in is a lot of time, and people watch because these guys are good. They make everybody else money. So,
well,
give them some wiggle room. Let them go.
If the job is to discover and develop, which Norvell himself said, and yeah. I don't think any other head coach would agree, if this is an obstacle that he is facing, where, you know, Mannix in his situation is, you know, his circumstances demanded that he go home, and Nephi Sewell's circumstances are mostly the same. You know, he wanted to go home to play closer to where he lives in Utah.
Yeah, he's from Southern Utah, so a couple options, obviously, in the state, or even UNLV is close by too from where he is. That's actually the closest FBS school to where he lives.
So if this is just another part of the cycle, then just discover and develop more. Like, that's your job.
It's easier said than done when you have a guy in your system for a little bit, and it's like, crap, who's our best guy? But
I don't think they're hurting for options, though.
Two things. He could be upset because he's losing a key player. I just think he's overreacting to something that's brand new. Brand new. That.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'd want to do numbers. Look at, like, how many players transfer just in general every year.
Well, and it's not like I'm familiar with college basketball, but I think somebody out there on Twitter pointed out the irony that somebody at Nevada was complaining about transfers.
Yeah, that too. There's that as well.
And I imagine Eli would have a better sense of that.
Yeah, but he did a huge piece. I don't think it was for us, but the college AD. No, it was the college AD site. He got picked up everywhere. Basically seeing where do people transfer. Because obviously college basketball, 300 plus teams, 1,500 teams, like thousands of players. It found out to be not a big deal because either players would drop out and not pursue college basketball. The amount that went from, say, and he went to, like, what Division I guys went to JUCO, community college, low major, mid major, high major, or WASH. It was very few going up to a higher level. For the most part, they were going down to a lower level of competition.
Mm.
And so that's different than this, but there's this epidemic, players coming and going. Yeah, a lot of players going, but the percentage has never really changed all that much by points. So. But again, Norvell could be upset. I don't blame him for being upset a guy's leaving, but don't say it's this new system that players are going to be the minor league for college football. But then again, all the coaches in G5 centrally are, so how's that any different?
Well, and nothing says that at some point in this offseason, whether it's before or after the early signing period, that he's not going to benefit from somebody transferring to Reno at some point.
Yeah, you never know. It's just
you never know.
I just think it's too early to have that big of an issue with it.
Is this like our long-winded way of not talking about Arkansas State?
I guess so. Jeremy Harper would be very upset with us, right?
Maybe we should give him a shout out real quick.
We will. I know what you're gonna say. I saw it too. Go for it.
I mean, it's kind of a I don't know. It's kind of a tale of two or three seasons for Arkansas State. Yeah, they had a little bit of good fortune early on where they beat Tulsa by 9, they beat UNLV in the rainstorm by 7, and then kind of got put in their place in the Sun Belt because they lost at Georgia Southern, got hammered by Appalachian State, and then lost on the road at Louisiana Lafayette, and then came back strong down the stretch. They played really well. They've averaged at least 30 points a game in each of the last, now that I'm looking at it, the last five games, or six games, excuse me, because they scored 51 against Georgia State. And the defense has played a lot better, too. They haven't allowed more than 17 points in the last month. So it's going to be a really fun matchup because they've got a lot of pieces. They've got a very capable quarterback, just like Nevada does. Justice Hansen, another dual threat guy. He had over 500 yards on the ground and 6 touchdowns, but he also has over 3,000 yards and 27 touchdowns through the air too. It's going to be fun to watch.
It could be, especially even without Mannix there and Sewell. It'll be fun. Malik Reed will got the quarterback. Tua could have a big running game. They have plenty of guys on this team to make for a lot of points. So I thought, you know where I thought you were going to go? Did you see Jeremy put up a piece about the basically shut up about P6? I thought you were going to go there because we mentioned him.
No, I didn't see that.
I tweeted out for just my personal one at the moment. Basically, we feel about that. Just get better. Just keep winning. Do what you want to do. That's all I want to say. I thought you were going to go there. I'm like, take it away. But this game, who's the favorite? Is it still Nevada by a couple, I want to say?
No, it opened as a pick.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And at the moment, it has moved to Arkansas State minus -1.
All right, then. I am part of it. I'm wondering if it may go more toward Arkansas State with these guys not playing.
Maybe, but we'll have to see.
All right, so that's our bowl lineup. I have our quick announcement here in a moment. The games line up pretty nice for us. You mentioned weekend games. We'll be back typically. Well, we'll see. We might do some combo preview recaps, but next week for sure, like Thursday, to talk about the two bowl games on Saturday and then go from there. So stay tuned for that. The big announcement, Matt, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of what I'm going to announce?
I am. I know.
I was making sure I did. So Mountain West is 20 years old. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
We're going to make some 20-year anniversary all-time team content stuff from January probably till June. Where's my
hand? It's
going
to be fun.
Give me some hand clapping. Woo! Thank you. No, I just kidding. I don't care. Whoever does. I wish I had my sound effect. We're using it. How we're going to do this, it's probably going to change a lot, but the main idea is to go through every conference team, football and basketball, probably not any other sports because that's a lot of work, as it will be. We'll go through, like, we'll probably go three. Is three deep enough for an all-conference team all time?
Yes.
So we'll go that, and this will include any team ever in the Mountain West. So for people who complain about us writing about BYU, that's coming back because they're in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Utah, TCU. There'll be some stuff in there in the conference. We'll do football, basketball. We'll make some all-time teams from each school.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You guys remember Steve Smith, University of Utah? He's pretty good. He'll be involved here. Brian Urlacher. Yeah. New Mexico, all do everything. He's pretty good. He's a Hall of Famer now. You know that, Matt? NFL Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher.
I had noted something about that, yes. And yeah. we'll figure something out for San Jose State.
Oh, come on. We got David Fales.
From the top rope.
Oh. It should have been really UNLV. What have they done? Football wise.
That's true.
Also, we're gonna do something like, I need to figure out, should we do like try to do a top 100 game of some sort?
Oh man, we'll need some long memories to put something like that together.
I've been around the league since like 03. I will say this, I can say definitively right now, people are gonna hate me for it. You want to know what the not best game? We'll do this. We'll do just 100 most important. Well, what should we do, best or most important? We got time, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to know what the most important game ever in the conference is?
Is it the 2004 Fiesta Bowl?
No.
Is it the 2008 Fiesta Bowl?
No. 2004 Utah BYU game that allowed Utah to go to the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Lose that game, you're out, right?
That's true. You know what? I'm not gonna lie. I never paid attention to the Mountain West before 2013.
That's fine.
Or 2012, rather.
Hey, you don't need to worry about it. Because that's the beauty of this. Fresno will have – that's where we're going to talk to our CSU guys, Fresno, Hawaii, UNLV guys. You can make an all-time team, which we're going to team up with the guys at MWC board. I chatted with Frank over there a little bit. We're going to kind of let them get some input just because it's a long time, right? 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
So just kind of, we want like fan input. Like if you want, we'll have like you, hey, Matt, write an essay of some sort about Fresno State and the Mountain West, some top memories, stuff like that will be exciting and fun. But yeah, so like there will be also, I got, I don't want to go too much into this anymore because we're just past the hour mark, but I think some sort of using Sagarin ratings because, oh, they just happened to coincide when the Mountain West started to do some sort of all time Mountain West tournament.
Ah, all right. All right.
Also, I found a wiki page, which I need to go to it as well and see if I could recreate it or find it again. Every Mountain West football coach ever. And maybe rank those, even the interim coaches, just for fun.
Why not?
I'm just saying, this will be exciting. And I'm crossing my fingers. I know a handful of people from my other, what I'm, my regular main job is to be. There could be some podcast element with this as well, talking to people who've covered the league as longer than me. So, just saying. Maybe. And we're in good with the conference, right?
I mean, we got 20 years to work with. I'm sure we'll think of something.
Do you think Craig Thompson would be a grace or presence, maybe?
Fingers crossed, right?
I know a few people.
All right.
And I do know a few times I tried to get him before where we got a yes, and, well, things didn't exactly work out to being a yes completely.
Oh, well.
It's okay. It happens. All right. So that's it for tonight. So, or today, it's morning, midnight, 3 a.m. Can't sleep or listen to us for some reason. We appreciate that. I'm assuming we'll start this sometime in January, but looks like I got to go with my doorbell ringing, dogs barking. So, MWR.com, Facebook, Twitter, all that great stuff, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, Spreaker, wherever you can find good podcasts, we're there. And we'll see you next Thursday, folks, or whenever.